Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, we're here at the Clay County Corner, in the corner of the Clay County Courthouse, which I guess makes sense. We come to you each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock. And, of course, I want to remind everyone that we've got a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And also remind folks that you can listen to the streaming version of this on DalhallaHorizon.com. And they just got, I've got their page pulled up here. They just got all kinds of interesting information on here, stuff about the Dalhalla Sports Network and the Internet broadcast of basketball games, football games, and that kind of thing going on, and just all kinds of good stuff on there. So go on now and take a look at that. And I've actually got a couple of folks that work closely with that with us this morning. We're going to spend the first part of the show today talking about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony that's coming up this weekend. And then I think Miss Melissa White, she's scheduled to be here the second part, and we're going to talk about an event coming up here in a little over a year. And that is our big sesquicentennial celebration for the County of Clay. That'll be celebrating its 150th birthday, and also the, I guess, the 150th birthday at the beginning of the construction of this place. So the county and the courthouse have been around a pretty good while. It survived a few attacks and things like that, but it is still hanging on and a pretty good place to do a radio show from. And we enjoy this, and we hope that you enjoy it and let us come into your dining room, your kitchen, or wherever you're sitting at this morning. And, of course, like I said once again, if you hear something that you think's real interesting, give your neighbors a call and tell them to tune in right now or to tune in for the rebroadcast later this afternoon. And with all of that, we'd like to, of course, thank the folks that make this possible, that allows us to come to you live and in living color on your radio dial each Thursday morning. And we will throw a special shout-out to all the folks that help sponsor this. And also remind everyone that we have our little special thing each Thursday where we give away a birthday prize for some lucky winner who has had their name called in here to the radio station. We've got a few of those today, and we'll be doing that about halfway through the show. So we just got all kinds of good things going on. And then when we come back, I'm going to go through our Today in History. I found some, since I've got some sports guys here, I found a couple of things that they may not even know about. So we will do that just a little bit, and then we'll talk about the Hall of Fame celebration and maybe some of the history of sports in Clay County again. We have done this before, and we still got lots and lots of material to work on with that. But with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
Needs to be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Yeah.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm sitting here with Thomas Weaver from the Dale Hall Horizon newspaper, Daniel Strong from the Clay County High School, and they are the, I guess, the officials with our Hall of Fame committee right now. But looking through, first thing I did this morning with our, you know, a lot of time we do our Today in History sometime, but I kind of, the first thing I noticed this morning when I opened it up and looked at on events, in 1945, no one was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Bypassed that year, huh?
Yeah. Now, I think there have been a few years when that's happened. Not very many, but there have been a few years when no one was actually elected to the Hall of Fame. But then also, this would have actually happened on a Sunday, but it was on this date in 1982. You guys probably don't remember this one either. At the NFC Championship Candlestick Park, San Francisco, the 49ers beat Dallas 28-27 on the catch. I'm sure you've seen reruns of that. The big one-handed catch by Dwight Clark that put the 49ers ahead with 58 seconds to go, and they went on to win. So that was, as everyone knows, like I said, even these guys have seen reruns of the catch.
And that kind of that sparked their decade of dominance.
Yes, it did.
There.
And made Joe Montana's rookie card worth a few hundred dollars. And let's see, in 1985, Lenny Wilkins became the first NBA coach to win 1,000 games with the Seattle Supersonics. And Lenny is also in the NBA Hall of Fame as a coach and a player. I think he's one of the few that have ever managed that. And then also along the sports line, 1986, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of the Los Angeles Lakers scored his 34,000th point. And he finally retired with 38,387 points, and I think that's still number one.
That's mind-boggling.
And I mean, it really is. And the thing about that was that he really became a great basketball player because of a rule change in college basketball. Of course, as we all know, Kareem was about 7 foot something or other and was a great around the basket that, you know, dunked everything that came anywhere near him and smacked away everything from the other team. But this is along about the time that a lot of the other coaches that thought the basketball game ought to get away from a muscle game and get back to a finesse game, so they outlawed the dunk.
Huh.
And all basketball from high school level all the way through the pros. No one was allowed to dunk. So Kareem went off and worked on a few months and years on a thing called the skyhook and brought that into basketball, and that is still one he could not be stopped with his skyhook. And like I said, a change in the rule probably made him into one of the greatest basketball players that ever played the game. And let's see, looking on down through here, this is the day that John D. Rockefeller incorporated Standard Oil, which is still in business today. And then along that same line, on this same day later on in history, the great Spindletop oil gush find in Beaumont, Texas. You know, this is kind of a day where a lot of things happened that were kind of associated with each other. And I thought this was kind of neat. 1911, the first aerial photograph was taken.
Huh.
From an airplane in San Diego. And this one is especially good for if you're a history buff and you're from Salina, Tennessee, and that is today marks the day in 1946 that the United Nations General Assembly meets for the first time in London. And guess who started and worked out all the details for the United Nations?
I'm going to guess Cordell Hull.
Clay County native, Cordell Hull. So, you know, I thought that was pretty good. And, of course, we have got some information here about Cordell Hull on our placards here we've got up in the courthouse. If you'd like to come sometime and take a look at those, just come by the courthouse and take a look at those. And then the next four here were kind of all associated together, too. In 1949, RCA introduced the 45 RPM record, which was... eventually, it kind of took the place of a whole lot of the album sales. And a little bit of interest for you guys. Why was the record album made that length?
Well, I know the big ones is the 33.
Right, the 33s. 33 and a third RPM record were made to hold just enough music to get through one reel of silent film in the theaters.
Well,
you know, sometimes it's a little trivia things that you throw in that go with these things. But then in 1956, also associated with us here in Tennessee, Elvis Presley records Heartbreak Hotel down in Memphis, Tennessee at the Sun Studios. And then in 1958, Jerry Lee Lewis's album of Great Balls of Fire was number one on the UK charts. And then about 6 years later, Introducing the Beatles was released in the U.S. on this date, 1964. So, you know, a lot of music news right there on the same day, different years. Well, guys, that's got me through my today in history, and I guess, let's take a little short break so we can come back and let you guys talk for a while and not have to interrupt you. So let's take a little short break. We'll be back just in a minute.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, folks. Let's just jump right into this. We've got these two guys here, and we've got coming up this weekend on Saturday after a ball game on Friday night down at Red Bull in Springs, but on Saturday, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Guys, tell us what's going on.
Well, first of all, Thomas, you know, you mentioned we were kind of the officials here. Well, we were drafted into that position, of course. I think Daniel has called me the chairman, and I'm calling him the vice chairman of the Hall of Fame committee, which is a 15-member committee. But it really started with Bobby Westmoreland. He was the founder of this thing, and Thomas, I know you were a part of it, along with my Uncle Don, or both of our Uncle Don Napier, several legends from right here around Clay County. But they kind of elected Daniel and I to
to do all the work, basically the nuts and bolts of it. But
well, if you notice, there's quite a disparity in our ages, guys.
Just a little bit.
So you guys have got more energy, I guess, sometimes than some of us do.
But we've kind of streamlined the process. We've, you know, the classes are smaller numbers now. We're having a reception and an induction during the basketball game, and we've moved and we've got an online presence now, Clay County or ClayCoveSportsHOF.com. All the information's there, voting details, current nominees, a nomination application, things of that nature is all online now. So that's some of the things we've gotten done, and we're looking forward to Saturday. We've got a great class, a 5-member class. And we're looking forward to it, aren't we, Danny?
Certainly are. This 2010 was an initial class, and this is the ninth class to get voted in. Currently, there's over 100 members already in. Every one of them very deserving, and all five of these are. And I think this the strength of this class, and I'm sure we may get into them in a moment or two individually, they're strong as some of the first. I think it just goes to, it's a testament to the fine athletics that we've had here in Clay County, not only today in the current, but throughout history.
And we've turned up some historical things this time, so, you know, that it's great that we've got this, and with the online thing, I guess, you know, if someone, I think there's an official time where we start really emphasizing, you know, get your applications in and everything, but with the online presence, you can go on there and look at this at any time, and I guess you can probably download one of those applications anytime you want to and fill it out and
get it back in. That's the biggest feature of the website, Thomas. Basically, nominations are accepted year round.
Yeah.
We do have a deadline where we stop taking nominations for each year's class, which usually comes around, what was it, Daniel? Right after Christmas, I think.
Yeah, around the second weekend or so in December.
But that's what's key to the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame. Someone cannot be inducted unless they are nominated by the public. So, you know, you think, well, why didn't this person in the Sports Hall of Fame?
You know, we get that question all the time.
I say,
hey, you know, get online or go down to the high school or something, get you an application, round up all your material, and get it into them.
That's right.
It's a real simple process.
And you alluded a moment ago, Thomas, to the Heritage member that is in this group. The Hall of Fame does feature three different categories. One is athletes and coaches. The other is contributors, and then the other is heritage. And heritage are people who participated 50 years or more away. And we received a heritage nomination this year, and they were voted in. The gentleman's name is Frank Kyle, and just a tremendous career. May go through that. Do we have to? We got time to talk a little bit about Frank Kyle. This was sent in. Thomas received it in an email, full of information. Thomas, you've got the information. I'll let you share.
I do, and that's what else is so unique and special about the Hall of Fame being set up. We would never know about Mr. Kyle and the fact that he is quite possibly the most successful college athlete ever. He started for I think 3 years and led Vanderbilt University to an unbelievable record, 35-3 while he was there, I think, maybe two ties during that time. But he also played basketball and baseball at Vanderbilt. So we're talking about a 3-4 sports star at Vanderbilt University back in the 1900s. And he also was the head coach at Ole Miss for 1 year. So you're talking about something that some person that is definitely deserved. And, you know, just basically the nomination let everybody know that this guy existed.
Right. He died in 1929. I think those participation years was maybe from 1902 through 1904 or something. And he was born in Clay County, moved away for preparatory school and obviously college, returned shortly thereafter that 1908 head coaching job, and had a lumber.
Yeah, I guess that would be the Hugh Kyle family, if I were guessing.
Yeah, that's right. Had a successful rafting business with his brothers until his death in 29. But that that nomination came from Mr. Kenneth Cherry, I think.
That's right.
Yes.
And so we appreciate him for that. And that's, you know, basically a first-year induction right there, and deservedly so.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you want to go through some of the other folks that are being inducted this year
quickly? Leading vote getter this year was Melissa Denton Smith. She's been nominated for a couple of years now, but she's one of the all-time great lady basketball players, and she played from 91 to 94, of course, during that impressive stretch where they went to the state tournament 3 years in a row and finished as state runners-up twice. And the biggest thing about Melissa, she's right up there with everybody that's already in the Hall of Fame as far as girls basketball goes. She had 1,200 points. She was top 10 in both rebounds and steals. And she also played on scholarship at the next level at Cleveland State.
Very deserving. I know that means a lot to her and her family to get in. And you mentioned those two categories that she's, well, three, including points, but rebounds and steals, those are that hustle.
That's
you
right.
know, that's somebody who's getting down to the nitty-gritty. So I remember watching her play as I was young. I still work with her coach, Mr. Sims, at the high school here. Meant a lot to him, too, to see her finally get voted into this.
Absolutely. But that's one of the things that makes you feel good as a coach years later when the students that made you a great coach or a good coach or whatever, they're getting that recognition that had been deserved to them that a lot of times they haven't gotten because of the years that have passed since a lot of these things happened.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Here's another one I think is well-deserved, and that's Brent Burchett. All of his classmates are in the Hall of Fame. He played right along with them. Football from 1987 to 1990 under Russell Richardson, the great Salina High School coach. And, you know, Brent had an elite combination of quickness, speed, and determination. And during that time, the Bulldogs had an amazing 21-3 record. Brent also went on to be, you know, you hear all these guys playing softball. They're known for the home run hitting and scoring of that thing. Brent was a defensive specialist
mm-hmm.
and won gold gloves as that all of these guys played across the state and even at some national events. So
that was a time, too. I know that still goes on, the professional men's softball, but it seems like it was a huge thing, really budding and growing at the time. And Clay County hosted a lot of talented stars in that.
I believe Kelly Spivey this morning posted a picture of the Southern Kentucky Championship team from Salina and this area that won that championship the year. And the neat thing was that he reminded everyone that this team they beat from Kentucky had these guys that could hit about 900 home runs a game.
Right.
And they were at a point where they were walking one of their most outstanding pitchers, and I think Brad Westmoreland was pitching for them, and he actually bowling rolled the ball up to this guy on the ground. back in the day before you automatically told him, you know, just go on first base, which I thought was kind of neat.
That's
but getting back serious stuff, guy.
All right. Well, we've talked about three. We've got two left, and this one kind of near and dear to my heart, the late Kevin Watson. I don't know. I always have a soft spot for quarterbacks, Daniel. I know you and I both do, but he was a great quarterback from 1983 to 1986 and on the Horizon Sports Network this year, you know, we ranked all the top 10 teams. This one's thought to be the greatest because they went the farthest.
Absolutely.
But he was, 1985 semifinal squad, and Kevin was the quarterback there. During his career, he was 31-16 overall, 11-3 marked during that semifinal year, passed for over 1,700 yards, 13 touchdowns, and also played great defense, recorded 13 interceptions during his career. And also was considered one of Salina's greatest basketball players. You know, we like
baseball.
Players. I'm sorry, yes, baseball. I apologize. And played basketball.
You're right.
Okay, now don't just say and played basketball. of course, this is the time during Salina sports, and we had tremendous athletes
Absolutely.
In all sports. And Kevin was a three sport. By all the sports we had, he participated in, and he was a member of three of those state championship teams, and was a starter his senior year.
He was.
The team that came back that, you know, was supposed to be weak because we lost all of our stars, and actually won the district tournament again that year. So and he was a more than adequate basketball player and a very, very key member. You know, without folks to practice against and work hard against, you don't become great as some of these teams have been. And he was a very, very important member of the all those state tournament basketball teams, and he was a starter for the year when we won the district after we lost all those guys.
You know, in terms of his football stats, they may not jump out among some of the all-time leaders, folks, he had Craig Ogletree and Jimmy Crank Hull in the backfield behind him. It was a running game, you know. That's you know, the best duo in the backfield is running backs that Simon's ever had. And it wasn't a passing game at the time, so his numbers are pretty impressive that he had those 1,700 yards as a starter with those two behind him for three of his 4 years.
You know, absolutely. We lost Kevin maybe a little over a decade ago, you know, near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, and just glad to see Kevin get voted in this year. And our final athlete was a first ballot inductee, and that's Chris Barton. What made Chris so special? He played from 1996 to 2000, but he was a legit star in two sports. You're talking about a 1,000-point scorer in basketball and also won the Tri-Lakes Conference MVP. You know, that's pretty big right here if you're an MVP of a basketball league. But on top of that, he was an all-state football player too, Coach. So just Chris was a legitimate dominant athlete during his time. In basketball, he led his team to, a district championship and a region runner-up, advanced to a pair of Class A Mid-East sectional tournaments, basically sub-state level that we know of, and they had back-to-back 26-win seasons. He was also an all-district tournament and got an MVP there. So Chris Bartlett, definitely one of the best athletes to ever come through Salina and Clay County.
And his mother was an outstanding basketball player in the old 3-on-3 basketball as a defensive ball player. And he is the nephew of James Bartlett.
Correct.
One of the early inductees into this, into the Hall of Fame.
So and, you can see what a solid class we have here with these five. And I know, Daniel, you played with Chris. You can attest to his ability.
I can. Witnessed him firsthand, and I made the comment you the other day, Chris is somebody who I think would fit into any era, any time, and he would excel regardless of who he was playing with, because he had an uncanny combination of strength and size and agility that a lot of folks didn't have. Very explosive, wonderful human too, just a great individual, and he rounds out that class very nicely.
He does. And, of course, again, the induction ceremony will take place at halftime of the girls' game on Saturday here at Clay County High School. We are having a meet-and-greet reception. It begins at 4:30 in the cafeteria. Open to the public. We'd love to see all the former Hall of Fame members for sure. Definitely the committee members. Anyone who wants to come to meet
anyone
and greet,
who wants to come by and just meet-and-greet, talk to folks. I know every year we have quite a few of the Hall of Fame members that are there. We have quite a few athletes that come by that just want to come by and socialize with their classmates. And it's a great, great get-together that day. And it is, like I said, a pre-ceremony thing for the basketball game that night, which I think is Cumberland County, Kentucky,
right,
I believe.
Kentucky, Burksville.
And so it's a great day to come out and just meet some of your friends. And I know we'd like to have 1,000 people there sometime or other.
It'd be wonderful. The fire marshal was fussing at us for too many people.
Well, we don't have to tell him everything, do we? But, you know, it's a great thing. It's a great organization. It's doing something that is a great, great community. It's a community project. It's not just an athlete. It's not just high school athletes. It's
right.
Not just one school. It involves the entire county. It involves great athletes in any field, because we've got everybody from, we said, shooters to fishermen,
mm-hmm.
Softball players. You know, I know we've
and
got
contributors, you know,
and the contributors that contributed in a way, and you know, and we've got so many things that haven't been touched yet. I know, you know, kind of on an off field, we have. Sometime I'd like to see a nomination made for a young man out Moss who actually won the National Dirt Track Championship one year, which is very athletic.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's things like that. And like I said, Mr. Kyle we found this year, and we haven't delved into the Maple Grove, the Willow Grove High School area yet.
Well, hopefully during that research that's being done for this 150th celebration that you and Ms. White are going to discuss after the break, some more stuff will come out like that.
Yeah, and but just something yesterday, I'm sitting on a nice chilly morning and sitting down in front of the computer, and years ago we visited the the National Basketball Hall of Fame up in Springfield, Massachusetts, and I made a point because I'd always heard, you know, as a coach from the folks over in Overton County about Alpine High School. So I wanted to go over and look and see, you know, did they actually play in the National High School Basketball Tournament in Chicago, Illinois in 1927? Well, they did. Mm-hmm. So yesterday I went on to newspapers.com and did a little research and just found all kinds of information of about the team. It was hard to find out who was actually on the team, but I actually found a picture of the guys that were on that Alpine team and the things involved in getting them to the to Chicago. They had to have fundraisers they rode the train to Chicago and got up there, and of course they had been to then the state tournament was called the Vanderbilt Tennessee State Championship, and you had to be a public school. And they ran into this thing that the team that won the championship that year, they weren't eligible to go to the national championship because they were a church school.
Hmm.
Well, it just so happens that Alpine was also their major contributor, and the folks that kept the school open was the Presbyterian Church up there. So they had to go through the process of showing that they were actually a public school, not a religious school.
Private donation.
And by them getting it, it knocked out a couple of schools up in East Tennessee, in Knoxville, Kingsport area, that might have been eligible to go, that didn't get to go, so there was a newspaper article about that. But they ran into something. This is during the day when you had a center jump after each point scored. And they ran into a team, I think they were from Nebraska, that had maybe a guy that was like maybe 6'8" or 6'9".
Huh.
And it turned into really a farce of a game. The final score was like 72-9,
wow,
I believe. And because every time they scored, they came back, jumped center, and they tipped it to the end, scored, come back up, tipped it to themselves, went down and scored. So, but I mean, most of the scores during that day and time were like 12-14. You know, the 20s was a big-time score. But this bunch, I mean, they just absolutely destroyed the fellas from up at the – and they had 50 students in high school there at that time.
Alpine High School. What?
30-something girls and 20-something boys. And I think there were some of the Vaughns in there that were maybe the grandparents of Coach Durwood Vaughn, that type thing. But I'm going to print those out and give those to Daniel because I know he would read it.
That's interesting stuff.
And, you know, sometimes you just hit something like that, and once you delve, you just keep digging deeper and deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, guys, I know last year in football season, we did a ranking of the football teams.
We did. Kind of statistically did it, had some different categories, did it for fun. I don't think anybody was genuinely upset, other than maybe one or two people. Saw some online speak out against it, like we had really, discredited his team. But it's all for fun. Did the top 10 teams of all time, and ended up number one was 1990. They had an undefeated regular season. And went to the second round of the playoffs. But as Thomas said earlier, when you have a team that went to the semifinals, it's hard to discredit them as the greatest. And that's kind of what we did it for, to get some of these, just get that interest and buzz going, you know.
Right. We called it the Horizon Sports Network Power Ranking,
yeah,
is what we called it. And what I kept trying to tell everybody, these teams rank themselves.
Yeah, we didn't pick them.
Statistically, we didn't pick them. So we put it in a formula based on win percentage and several different categories. And, you know, the 85 team could have hurt themselves by playing more games.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That was the thing. So. But it was a good deal and all in fun. And we had those records. Wish we had all the records on basketball and we could do something similar. But
that time's coming.
The one loss records and members of the teams, a difficult situation. I know, of course, I retired from coaching, and after I retired from coaching, we changed the physical location of the school. And those of us that coached during all the years that I was there, we didn't keep our score books at the end of the year. We turned them into the school secretary, and they were placed in the vault. Mm-hmm. And stored there in the vault. And we had record books going all the way back to Coach John Teeples.
Wow.
Basketball days of coaching girls and sometimes coaching the boys. And we had all those, and we had and all of my shot charts and things like that were stored in a box in the office in the bottom of the old gym. And all those things, the score books didn't make it to the school, to the new school, and we don't know what happened to them. We're still looking for them, and hopefully they'll turn up one of these days where we have all those statistics. And there were a few years that I had kept some notes on some things that that did make, and then the state tournament basketball teams, we did a statistics thing for a when we were, I guess, when they did the little recognition for us down at Nashville, and we had the statistics for those. But a lot of those, and I do have a list that, while my mind was still fairly sharp, put together of all the folks that were on each year's basketball team, which you, of course, find out by looking through our old annuals and things like that. And we can find some things there, but basically most of our scoring records, it's based on what those folks that played to remember and the things that I can remember. And
we're still doing some during our what we're calling our district 6A showcase coverage here all month long on the Horizon Sports Network. We always like to do a history segment. Mm-hmm. We're still doing that. This time it's called About a Bulldog History. And statistics go back to the beginning of Clay County High School now. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, as far as, well, on the girls' side, anything we've got. We throw out anything we have. We mentioned Loretta Rich the other day as
That's right.
Single game leader against Monterey.
Right.
I found it on newspapers.com where she had scored 38 points against them. So
they're limited, but we're still doing that. And the other thing we're doing, instead of picking the top 10 teams this year, we're highlighting a Clay County Sports Hall of Fame member, reading their summary, talking about them. Both a men's and women's player that is in the Sports Hall of Fame that were basketball players,
right,
or at least mostly basketball stars. So it's still a good segment, even though we're not ranking the teams.
Well, you know, we mentioned Mabel Brady Brown the other night, and Thomas read off her bio. I think maybe for the first time realized she had played professional basketball in the 50s. Speak for just a moment about that. Has anybody else done anything like that?
Yes, Pitcock. I can't think of her first name. She's in the Hall of Fame also. She played for the for the Arkansas Redheads, I believe.
Yeah.
There are some of those. Now, it seems like there may be another one or two in there. So
pretty impressive stuff.
Yes. I know that. I can't think of the Pitcock lady's first name because she used to come out and work out with us in high school, with the high school team in the fall to get in shape when I was in high school.
Well.
So We've got those, and like I said, she is in the Hall of Fame already also. Well, guys, great to have you here with us this morning.
Thank you for letting us come on.
Hopefully we get a bunch of people to come out Saturday afternoon, and we'll I think it's going to get better and better every year.
I think so, and there is a commemorative pull-out section of the Delhi Horizon newspaper. If you don't subscribe to that, go by and pick it up, and these bios we read from are in there with pictures and very good-looking piece about these five inductees.
Okay, guys, I hate we have to stop, but right now I've got to work in a little commercial, and Miss White's been here. She's pacing the floor next door. Just can't wait to get in here and tell us what's
going on. Let me interrupt you real quick.
Okay.
It's Catherine Nola Smith Pitcock.
Catherine Pitcock,
the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame website.
Easily.
Right here on my telephone. There's a list of every member on here that you can search.
Okay, all right. Thank you guys for being with us. Right now, I guess we better get us in some words from our commercial sponsors, or we might not be coming back if we don't let them get their time in here. We'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me. You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria and food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Yep.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The senior care is a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to senior care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone. I will start this section with a very important number, 243-5574. That's the number you call here at the courthouse to get your name on this very special list I'm getting ready to read, and that is of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. And today we have only birthdays, no anniversaries this week, and celebrating birthdays from Thursday to Thursday, I guess we can say, each week. And those are, on January the 4th, Mr. Johnny Smith celebrated his birthday, and we'd like to wish him a happy birthday from all of his friends and family, his children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, just the whole Smith Incorporated family. And happy birthday, Mr. Johnny. And then also, let's see, on January the 9th, Gary Strong celebrated a birthday, and this is from his mother, Wealthy Strong. We'd like to wish him a happy birthday.
How old is he now?
He's up in his 60s, which, golly, don't remind me of these
things. I'm just giving him a hard time.
An undeserved hard time, Miss White.
That's right.
And let's see, on there's one on January the 6th, Miss Lisa Davis celebrating a birthday. So we'd like to wish her a happy
birthday. She helps us out in our genealogy
committee. Yes, she does. Mm-hmm. And then also, let's see, on the 10th, we have Kenda Faye Willis. Celebrated a birthday, her sixth birthday, I believe, and this was called in by her grandparents, Sherman and Liz Brown. So we'd like to wish her a happy birthday, and also Margie Boone is celebrating a birthday this day. And we're not going to say about that. We don't talk about age of ladies, do we?
No, but I saw her last night, and I wished her a happy birthday then,
oh.
And I wished her happy retirement at the same time.
Okay. Well, it's nice when you do all that about the same time, isn't it? Of course, now, this retirement's really not what it's cracked up to be, is it?
No, you have to do a lot more work than you think you're going to.
You wind up volunteering a lot, don't you?
And we're happy to do so, aren't we, Mr. Watson?
Yes,
Watson?
We are. And right now, I guess we can get into what you're here to talk about today.
Whatever you'd like. You said, would you like to be on the radio? And I said, yes. So I came prepared.
Okay. Of course, one of the major things that we're going to talk about is the sesquicentennial celebration that is coming up.
Absolutely. I'd like to thank everybody, in case it's been a while since I've talked with you guys on the radio, for all your assistance for our June pre-celebration that we had just last summer. That was extremely successful. And we are now, of course, planning diligently for our major celebrations in 2020 for our 150-year anniversary of Clay County. So you shouldn't be too surprised if we call on you to help us out with some things. And we're very happy with the volunteers that we've had, Mr. Watson. But there are 26 subcommittees that are working on this celebration. And we anticipate that we will have items or events throughout the year in 2020 to help us celebrate. But everybody needs to mark their calendars right now, because our major over a week-long celebration will be June the 13th through the June the 20th, 2020.
Okay, and I know we just finished with our Christmas celebration, and I don't know where the brainstorm came from, but we decided we would decorate some of the downstairs courthouses, let some of the community groups come in and decorate those, and they did a tremendous job on that. And then a lot of the folks came by and said, this would be a good idea if we could do that to some of our communities.
That is so strange they said that.
And I said, oh, well, great. Let me get your name put down here. And because that's one of the things we're planning on doing here, is celebrating all of the communities in Clay County.
Yes.
That we can find information on, pictures, stories.
You and I serve on that subcommittee. We'll have to get with that pretty quickly. But I thought that was a wonderful prerequisite for what's going to happen with the community exhibits. That shows exactly how it can operate, and they were beautiful Christmas exhibits here.
Yes, and I know I had Matthew Craggett here with us last week, and we were talking about Century Farms.
Oh,
and
what a great
another,
idea.
I heard a thunder in my head, and another brainstorm comes roaring across, and I thought, you know, there are probably some homesteads or farms in this county that are still owned by the same families or their lineage that were here in 1870.
No doubt.
And which would be a great thing if we could recognize anyone that is still living on land, property, or whatever, that one of their ancestors owned when Clay County became a county, and have a special little honor of some kind for them.
I think that's a fantastic idea. Make sure you write that down so we don't forget that.
I've lost my pen.
Did those journalists take it from you?
Well, I don't know. I had one here a minute ago.
I saw one, but anyway, that is a fantastic idea, and we do continue to brainstorm. So if anybody in the public has an excellent idea for what we can do, don't be shy about letting us know. Call us, text us if you have our numbers, find us on Facebook, email us. Remember, our email is clayhistpres, that's CLAYHISTPRES, at gmail.com. And we are on Facebook at Clay County, Tennessee Sesquicentennial 2020. So there's a plethora of ways to get in touch with us if you have some great ideas. And remember, we are always looking for volunteers and always looking for photographs, documents, anything that would help us document our history.
And also remind folks that we still have a few of this shipment of knives that we received.
I'm surprised we still have them.
We sold most of those prior to Christmas, because a lot of folks sounded to say, you know, these would be great Christmas gifts. But we still have a few of them left, and we've got some over at the Clay Chamber. You can go in there and actually give them $75 and pick one up.
That's wonderful. If we run out, you can always pre-order and wait a couple of months for another shipment.
Right, because we do have to put together 25 to place an order. We were hoping that if we made our first order, we could order in little bits, but they don't do it that way. They won't.
No, and that's okay. We'll play the game, whatever it takes. But those forms are available at the chamber, again, if we run out of the supply and you need one. And they're also available at the Clay County Library. And the Clay County Library also has our First Families of Clay County applications and our family tree forms that we're going to use for the genealogy book that we're putting together in the genealogy subcommittee. So everything's available on the Facebook page and at the Clay Chamber and at the Clay County Public Library. So everybody has access.
You want to tell us about the committees that we've got? Just name the committee. We don't want to go through and name all the members.
No, we're not
right
going to. No, and we may not even name all the committees, because some of them are just logistical kinds of things. But we talk a lot about the genealogy committee. We have a historic tours committee. We're working on a river and lake tours committee, cemeteries, music, storytelling, living history, which is folklore and so on, digitization, where we're looking to copy photographs and documents, crafts, sports, games, and toys, and that's a huge committee that can go a lot of different ways. We're hoping to get together a good time capsule, and we're hoping to do a good historic drama performed right here in the courthouse.
Okay. Now, I know a lot of these things, the storytelling. Now, folks, this is a very, very important thing, especially at the era we're in now, because there are so many stories out there that are just oral. We don't have them digitized. We don't have them in print and that type of thing. It's something that, you know, we are losing, you know, on a daily basis. We're losing part of our county history, our county heritage, by not just bothering to, you know, sit down with Grandpa and maybe lay a telephone over there and not tell him you're actually recording him till you get through. Because sometimes older folks do get nervous when they think they're being recorded and they're going to say something wrong and not sound like they should. You know, just lay one of these things over there and sit there and talk to Grandpa and Grandma. You know, and the stories like, I can remember, you know, that your grandpa, he now owns a, you know, he owned a pretty good farm. And, well, it all started when Grandpa was trapping, and he trapped enough skins one winter to, he saved him up $150. And he took that $150 and he bought him 10 acres of land. And then he worked that 10 acres and he kept adding to it and adding to it. And, you know, those are the kind of stories that we need. And, you know, what it was like for the family when they had six people living in a one-room log house.
Absolutely.
And, you know, those stories are there. And
they're going to be lost.
And they are going to be lost
if
we don't make an effort to get them down. And like I said, it's just so easy with the way we can record things with telephones or with just little miniature recordings, that you don't have to put that big microphone up in front of people, which scares them to death. And sit and talk to them. And if you hold a conversation, you find out a whole lot more if you go in there and say, well, tell me about this. You just start talking, and they'll talk back to you.
And then you can share it with us, because it's digital once you have it recorded in that manner. And our oral history committee does have the equipment to interview people. So if you have someone in mind that you think would be a fantastic source of knowledge for us, especially an elderly person, then, again, just pass that along to us. If you don't want to do the interviewing, then we certainly can, and I'm very happy to do so.
And pictures. You know, like I said, we are now set up here. We've had it set up here in the courthouse a couple of times and out at the Clay County Museum, that we don't have to take possession of your pictures anymore. You just bring them in, scan them on site, we get them digitized, and hand them right back to you. Because I know there are so many things that people don't want to get out of their possession. Because they are.
And
yes, we do understand, because they are prized possessions. But we would love for you to share that heritage, those prized possessions, with everyone in Clay County.
Yes, we would. And as a part of our outreach, we'll be coming into seven different communities. That's pretty much countywide, in the summer and also in the spring of this year, to work on our genealogy project. But at that same time, we'll have people there to scan your pictures and documents, so you don't even have to leave your own community. Just drive a couple of miles to your center of your community, which is where we'll be set up, and let us work on that. And I'm sure we'll probably talk to you about your community exhibits, because that's just a good thing to do, work on everything at the same time.
And something else, too, I know a lot of folks that are on Facebook will publish pictures, old pictures of their families there, and it's a very, very simple process.
And I save them every time.
And to save those and put a file on your computer, even if you're not a member of anything here.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of, everyone in this county is a member of
Absolutely.
This organization.
Absolutely.
Because it is a celebration for all of us, for all of Clay County.
Yes.
And we're just looking forward to getting all this information in here. And like I said, we've got lots of plans for the courthouse. We've got lots of plans for the entire county. As we said, you know, community exhibits here in the county, trying to work up a program. And I do know that I do have a gentleman that I had on the radio show a few weeks ago that is, he is working up a primitive blues band that's going to do a cover show of Bud Garrett music. And, you know, and other folks here, we would love to have someone, a band or a vocalist or someone that would like to sit down and listen to Lola Jean Dillon's catalog of music.
Right.
And come up with a show that they would like to do of Lola Jean Dillon music. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are type things. And, of course, we know We talked about our the music byway that's coming to the Tennessee, and we do know one of the first members on that was Dumas Walker and his package store, and we know that Lola Jean Dillon is going to be on that, and it's just something that's going to bring attention to our county. And we've got to realize also that we do have a byway here that runs from the Clay County Courthouse to the Cumberland Gap.
Right.
That goes up through some of the most beautiful country in the world.
The beautiful.
Some of the greatest scenery you'll see anywhere. And, you know, this courthouse itself, I know I read off a couple of things this morning here that this was the day of the first meeting of the United Nations General Assembly.
Right. I heard that on the way here.
And that is directly tied to this courthouse here and to Clay County.
It certainly is.
And just so many things like that. And there are so many things that we lose. And I know with our Hall of Fame thing, we found the information on Mr. Frank Kyle.
Yes, which I didn't know about him until I was doing research for our kickoff celebration last June and ran across several newspaper articles about him.
And, you know, it's just amazing the things that are out there. Well, Ms. White, let's take a little short break.
All right.
We have run out of time without really getting...
Oh, that's okay. There's plenty to do.
But let's do that, come back real quickly, and you give us a rundown on what else we got going on and when our next meeting is and invite everybody to come out, all that kind of... We'll be right back.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. Right now, before we do anything else, we'd like to announce the winner of today's birthday prize, and that is Kenda Faye Willis. Happy birthday.
Congratulations.
To you. And you can come over to the Clay County Chamber and pick up the necessary stuff to get your birthday cake over at the Salina Dairy Queen. So make sure you get that done. And let's see. Let's get them real quick now.
Just
go.
Mr. Watson says I have a few seconds. A reminder that we will be coming into various communities in the spring and summer to work on lots of these projects as we've mentioned. Remember to contact us on Facebook or at the Chamber or at our email address if you have anything you'd like to contribute at all. And please, if you're a member of an organization, a church, a school in the community, be thinking about what your organization, church, or school can do for the sesquicentennial. You plan it, and just let us know what you're doing so we can publicize it and make sure it's organized with all the other activities that are going on. I remember the centennial celebration. I was just a small girl then, Mr. Watson. And at our church, we had an old-timers day, and I remember that quite well. I remember that my grandmother made my dress that I wore. And so that's a really simple and good way to get everybody involved. That's just one little idea, though. So please get involved any way that you can. Don't be thinking about it in December of this year. Think about it now, because 2020 will be here before you know it.
Yes, it will. And let's see, we got a meeting coming up here before long.
The committee does, yes. On the
22nd. So after we have that meeting, maybe a week or so after that, we'll invite you to come back and come on at 9 o'clock so we can talk as long as we want to.
So you can give me a hard time the whole hour, yes.
Here you are once again. And, okay, now, a lot of folks, you know, when you say sesquicentennial, they well, that's a big old word. And they say, I don't know whether I can pronounce that or not. I said, well, we started that. We didn't know for sure either.
We had three
English people in there at the time, and we finally got decided on someone that would maybe look and see and get the correct pronunciation of that big old word.
We looked it up, yes.
And, of course, we didn't grade anyone on that.
No, we don't grade each other.
Thank goodness.
No, that's not our jobs anymore.
Let's see. Tonight, this is Thursday, isn't it?
It is.
And then tomorrow night, Friday night, our basketball team goes to Red Bull in Springs.
That'll be a big game. Both games will be big.
And then Saturday night, we got the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And, of course, then we got to do a shout-out for last Tuesday night.
Oh, we have to.
For the first time since, I believe, we finally went back to, we had beaten Clark Range on our floor. It was like 19-0.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
It was actually in about 2004,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, 2004.
2004.
I think it was when Paige Smith was the coach. It was her first year coaching, and she beat them on our floor.
And that is, it doesn't have to, because they are the, you know, they're the benchmark. They're like the, well, you say the Alabama, but now it's now that they are the Clemson of the sports world.
Oh, be careful. Uh-oh, you just lost some listeners there. Not me. I'm not an Alabama fan.
Well, you know, I thought it was kind of neat that they went there. They're now tied. Those two coaches are with their national championships and things like that. And of course,
good coaches.
I'm an old-time Alabama fan, and I'm a great Bear Bryant fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of tough seeing someone go above his record of national championships.
Well, things are just different now, though. It's a different game.
Yes. And I guess, you know, something that's new, not new. We're about to run out of time.
Well, let me just say quickly, congratulations to those Hall of Fame inductees. Most of them are my former students, so I'm just very happy for them.
And with that, we'll say, you know, it's time we shut her down, shut the doors, get all the stuff back in here, and we will see you again next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock here on the Clay County Corner. Until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, and we hope that you'll be with us then. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.